Got to get this big audience to quiet down here. Like we're on C-SPAN, just speaking to a bunch of nothing. All right, it is October 25th. It is, I'm Angel, I'm showing about 11:38. This is our workshop. We had called for legislative update, and for the record, we have Mary Sue Rich in attendance, Mayor Randy Ewers, Councilman Kent Gwynn, Councilmember Susie Heinbach, myself, Daniel Owen. And with that, turn over to City Manager Matt Brower.
Thank you, Council President. Today's work meeting, we'll be talking about legislative issues. As you know, we've had a very active role in Tallahassee over the last couple of years, led by our outstanding consultants, Stephen Shriver and Sarah Busk, is that right? And they're here this afternoon to kind of update us on the forthcoming legislative session. As you know, the timeline has been advanced due to the redistricting work that is taking place. And so with that, I'm going to turn the time over to them to give us a broad scope presentation about some of the issues they see forthcoming, as well as to engage in a dialogue where we can identify what the council's top and high legislative priorities might be for this forthcoming legislative year.
Welcome, sir. You can name and address for the record.
Thank you very much. My name is Stephen Shriver. I am from Tallahassee, Florida. I live at 504 Middlebrooks Lane in Tallahassee, Florida. I'm here with my colleague, Sarah Busk, on behalf of the advocacy group at Cardenas Partners in Tallahassee. We've been your representation going on our fourth year now, or entering our fourth year, I believe, on behalf of you all. So thanks for having us. This is an extension of when we were here back, I think, in August, to address you on the 2011 legislative session, what happened, what did not happen, and then I think it was a member of the council who suggested we come back, and as we got closer to session, sort of begin to fine-tune what we think we know about this next upcoming 2012 session, and begin to formalize the city's priorities as it relates to a broad array of things from economic development to potential job-creating initiatives to transportation initiatives, which we're working on, and just a myriad of other things. And it's, you know, we came 2 years ago, Sarah and I did, and we had a meeting, so to speak, with some of your senior staff, and maybe a couple of you attended that as well, that we really spoke through sort of the finer details as to what the city's needs were in that respective year. And as the city has grown and evolved and changed, as the state has grown and evolved, or state revenues have shrunk and evolved and changed, you know, certainly the city's priorities, you have some that are constant and then some that are changing, like the metal theft issue, Councilman Gwynn, which we worked on a lot last year. So Sarah and I hope to do a couple of things today. One, bring you up to speed as to what we think we know, what we think is around the corner, and then talk through some of your known priorities and where they may exist in the conversation in Tallahassee today, and really more so to, and I was speaking to the Mr. Manager a moment ago, really more so potentially come back in December, November, December, to your liking, and talk about what the specific initiatives are in Tallahassee as it relates to bills, how they're affecting Ocala, and then where your initiatives are in that conversation. We have already begun to ascertain, how many bills have been filed already, Sarah?
I think just shy of 2,000.
Bills have been filed already. Yeah, you know, basically that the process, let me take a step back. The process has been sped up this year because of redistricting. As you all know, every 10 years since the 60s, the legislature will take the census data, then turn around and redraw the districts based off of the movements. And we've talked about redistricting and how that's worked. You all adopted a letter to the redistricting and some of the thoughts the city council has. In years past, and in 2002, when I was on staff, as I was sharing with someone earlier, a redistricting session is really the second must-do for the legislature in a redistricting year, so to speak, meaning every year the legislature only has to do one thing, and that's pass a budget by constitution. But in the redistricting year, they must redistrict and redraw the maps. And so that's the second priority that the legislature has to do this year. If you look at the years past, redistricting and then the budget have always taken up the majority of the work on the from the legislature and in the legislative process. They, in a redistricting year, speed up the calendar so that we will begin this year January 9th as opposed to the second or the first Tuesday in March, which is generally when it starts. January 9th, which is the first Tuesday in January, I believe, Is it the 10th? We'll begin the session this year. And because of that, the legislature has already started meeting in earnest. You have some legislative committee meetings. You've heard bills that have passed legislative committees already. This is much earlier than it would happen normally. If you take that into account, and then you take in some of the things that we hope to begin to identify today, when we urged you in August when we came to sort of get the ball rolling earlier, today's a product of that. The 2011 session saw a complete government reorg, as we know. They did away with the Department of Community Affairs. The governor and this legislature have changed a lot of the delivery models for state government. We anticipate 2012, he and the legislature will continue to do some of that. He created the Office of Economic Opportunity, which with Mark Mondell and Estrida and John and some of your team, we begin to understand how that group of what it used to be, Office of Tourism and Trade, Enterprise Florida, Visit Florida, Space Florida, all in these other various areas, functions of DEP, functions of the old DCA, now have been merged into one massive agency, which is in a lot of ways probably going to streamline a lot of the economic development processes that exist today. You know, with your merger locally that you just had, so too the state did sort of a larger portion or a larger version of that. And I think you will already see some dividends already. The governor's staff, Doug Darling, the executive director of the Department of Economic Opportunity, Gray Swope, the Secretary of Commerce now, have already been before the legislature touting the enhanced process and how we've already secured jobs in the state. Representative Baxley is someone that's worked tirelessly on behalf of you in economic development since his previous time in the House and now his time here. Recently spoke to him. He is working closely with that office to try and find opportunities along with our group on behalf of you to do some of that. Councilman Gwynn, 2 years ago, spoke on behalf of the Enterprise, 3 years ago, actually. Gosh, 3 years ago, spoke on behalf of the Enterprise Zone. The Ocala Enterprise Zone continues to be, for what, in our perspective, one of the model enterprise zones around the state, because you passed it, you immediately went to work, you've had some gains there, and in the 2011 session, there was legislation that actually would have dissolved and done away with all the enterprise zones around the state. And when we immediately became aware of that, with the help of Mark and Estrida and some of your team, we quickly gathered the details behind what you were doing in your enterprise zone, and we gave that to folks to say, look, there are enterprise zones that can function. There are enterprise zones that can work. There are enterprise zones that this is not an antiquated program. And, in fact, it is putting people bringing jobs. And so we anticipate that conversation will probably be had again this year, which is, with this new Department of Economic Opportunity, do enterprise zones as they exist today fit in the model? Do they fit in our growth plans? Do they fit in our vision for how we can grow the state and communities that need help? And so we anticipate that conversation probably bubbling up again this year. The legislature and the governor last year implemented roughly $30 million in corporate income taxes. The governor came out with his jobs package, which we'll talk a little bit about later. Earlier this week, that includes more tax cuts to businesses to help stimulate the economy. There was a 3% pension required of state and local employees who participate in the FRS. I know Ocala does not, but there are conversations this year that because there were some shifting of revenues locally, that some local municipalities, if they were participating in the FRS and they weren't contributing the 3% anymore, that the employee, he or she, would have to contribute, that those cities and counties and school boards felt that had a windfall of dollars. I think there's some conversation from Tallahassee as to how can we reclaim some of those funds. So you're going to see that. Won't affect Ocala, but it's something I think we should monitor as well. And then the governor vetoed about a record $650 million, a lot in PICO projects, some in spending authority, but yet it was a record veto. $615 million was a record veto. Some of those conversations that we saw come out of 2011 from the legislature and the governor, we will see again this year. As I mentioned, the enterprise zones, we watched and worked on the septic tank implementation legislation, which was delayed until July of 2012. There's been legislation filed already by Senator Evers up in the Panhandle and Representative Coley to repeal that again. We're watching that as well. Of course, we're always watching the energy issues, Matt, as it relates to OEU and how those how we may be affected by those. We have not seen legislation as was filed last year that would restrict the amount of in the city limits, outside the city limits, customers that a local city municipality can actually provide power to. That was done by Representative Mayfield last year. There were some concerns about how the Vero Beach municipality was, or Indian River, I think, municipality was conducting their sale of energy. And so we've not seen the inhibitive legislation that could have affected Ocala yet, but we don't believe that it's an issue that has just gone away. So we're watching for that. And then, of course, the metal theft issue, Councilman Gwynn, which is something that you testified on last year. We have been at meetings on behalf of the city with stakeholders from the energy sector, the telecommunications sector, the construction trade. We were at this meeting that I attended 3 weeks ago, the only municipality there, but we spoke on behalf of the city, and the legislation this year will be similar to last year's, which will establish a restricted set of metals that either you can't buy like you can today in the common market, or if it is a restricted metal, then it must go through a reporting process that you can't just take a restricted metal like a beer keg, maybe one of them, or a manhole cover, which, you know, the average citizen probably should not have the ability to have a manhole cover. So to be able to take that and sell that to a metal recycler is something that the state's going to take a different approach at, I think, through this legislation. We have seen an early version of that legislation filed by Senator Chris Smith from Fort Lauderdale, the Broward area, a Democrat in the Senate. That version is not probably the ultimate version that we'll see filed by Representative Clay Ford from the Panhandle in the House. So we are waiting to find out what the language will look like, and then we'll, of course, send that to your staff, and we'll begin that process. There is the bill exists today, which is Senate Bill 540, there is an allocation in there, an accommodation, I should say, that says any local ordinance is not preempted if this local ordinance was adopted by March 2011. So one of the reasons last year that I think the city was involved in this is that you had an ongoing conversation about what your ordinance would look like. This last year's legislation would have preempted what you were doing. If I'm not mistaken, you've adopted an ordinance. You have not adopted an ordinance. No. Okay.
So this new statute would not preempt a local ordinance?
The original legislation we see today, which may change.
May change. Okay.
Which may change.
And does it have that 3-day wait period?
I believe it does.
I mean, that's, to me, one of the most important parts of it.
You have I'll go back and review the 3-day wait on the Chris Smith language. The bill last year spoke to the 3-day wait. The bill last year, which we supported, and this year's Chris Smith bill, restricts some metals. It will also it disallows cash over $1,000 cash payment. Anything over $1,000 must be by check or wire transfer to the individual's bank account.
Right.
As much as anything, the conversation in Tallahassee among some of the stakeholders I mentioned is, how would this legislation affect local municipalities that have different ordinances within the same area? So that if something's stolen in Ocala, if you have an inhibitive policy here, can they go to Gainesville and sell it? I mean, the end goal is to reduce the crime and reduce the theft.
And let me mention this, because hopefully that language won't stay that way as far as preempting. I mean, that's the whole thing, that we want it to be a statewide solution, because it's a statewide problem. If we start piecemealing it in different counties and cities around the state have different ordinances, it's just going to be, not going to make sense, because South Florida's going to have one, we're going to have one, Tallahassee's going to have one, and then if they pass that and they say it doesn't preempt any ordinance before March 2011 or March 2012, right?
It says March 2011, but
then that's a moot point. Then
this legislation is, I don't want to say it's in bill form, meaning it's got a bill number, but we expect there to be potential changes.
Okay.
We believe that the House version will look different.
But, Sarah, it does say 2011?
It does say 2011, but...
March 1, 2011. And were discussing, was there a mistake, and does that mean 2012?
Orange Lake, Volusia, and there's one other county that has it. But yeah, I mean, the solution was just to copy the Orange County ordinance, which is what everyone was trying to do. And that seemed to be the one that worked. I mean, I don't know. It seems like they should just take the Orange County ordinance like they did last year and just copy it again and
yeah,
make it the same.
Well, you have, absolutely. And I think from the city's perspective, your story hasn't changed. Your right. reasons for this hasn't changed. I think, you know, you have what's different this year than last year in that it's being considered earlier. Remember last year
right.
it was,
right.
you know, it wasn't our bill last year per se. And so we were a supporter of those that were doing it. We've engaged earlier, but you're seeing the legislature engage earlier on it.
Right.
You're seeing last year, if you'll recall, Councilman, in the Senate, you had Senator Altman had a bill.
Right.
Senator Hayes had a bill that law enforcement, they weren't on opposite sides, but they just did different things. I think you have today at the table, and I'm told law enforcement is engaged in the issue now. Of course, the entities I just mentioned, you have municipalities like yours, ours, who want a standard. We want to be preempted, so to speak, in some ways,
yeah.
Because of the reasons you mentioned.
Yeah, Senate Commerce Committee, I said, you know, there's right. been discussion here about that, you know, folks in the room don't want it to preempt local ordinances. I said, we want it to preempt,
right.
you know, because it's a statewide problem. But, wow, okay. Well, hopefully we'll get it figured out. But
well, we're moving that way. And I think that, you know, the big, in last year, the big issue in the House was there were some that believed philosophically that this was too much regulation on businesses, that doing this would have caused more regulation. And I think what was unique to this situation was that you actually had businesses going and asking for this legislation. You know,
right.
you had the larger metal recyclers who were asking for
trademark.
This. Right, for all, yeah. For all the reasons that you've discussed. And so that and to literally, and this doesn't help anyone that wanted the legislation passed, doesn't help anyone's feelings, but the chairman of the committee left after I think his first or second committee meeting, and yeah. he became a county commissioner in Miami-Dade.
Yeah.
And so you had a committee sitting there with all these bills, our metal recycling, the metal recycling being one of them, without being heard.
Right.
And so I think it's a different conversation. I think you're going to see it get to the place it needs to get sooner in the process, which, okay. as I spoke about earlier, is important given redistricting and the budget and those types of things.
Okay.
And I guess this was probably a pretty good, Mr. Manager, a pretty good place to interject. We hope that today is, like you mentioned, Mr. President, earlier, this is a way that we begin to get our marching orders. And so we're going to take your comments today and fine-tune them, compare them against what we see developing in Tallahassee, and then begin the constant dialogue that we have with Estrida and John and the rest of your team. We've already identified, as I mentioned in my sort of small opening, bills that have been filed that deal with, you know, some water quality issues, some transportation issues, economic development issues, the metal recycling issues that we have begun to sort of break down and we'll send to Estrida and John and ask Jeff and yourself on the energy side or whomever to begin to understand how these may affect the city and then give us sort of some marching orders from there. You know, as we speak about every year, I mean, there's thousands of bills filed that maybe a handful ultimately end up passing. But you have to know, it's important for us to know what your priorities are. And as we sat here 2 years ago with your staff, you know, to be able to know the small things from your staff's perspective that's important to the city, you know, you have so much going on in your daily life. You have a daily life here that doesn't involve Tallahassee. The more we can know about that, the better. And so that's where I hope we start to take comments like this and others back and we come back with our marching orders. More globally, I think I've covered last year some of the things we covered for you all and that some of the things that will probably peek their head back up. You know, more globally this year, I spoke about, from the session's perspective, I spoke about redistricting, which literally is going to be one of the top most labor-intensive jobs that the legislature does this year. This and dealing with a roughly $2 billion shortfall is estimated today will be the two most labor-intensive pieces of matters that they deal with in Tallahassee. You're going to see a conversation dealing with gaming. You're going to see a conversation, when I speak of gaming, I mean of resort destination gaming. It was talked about last year. There were bills filed last year. You all have probably read about it. What you're dealing with is the potential for a license or licenses being granted by the state for large-scale resort types of destination gaming if, I believe, the municipality passes it by referendum, or the county passes it by referendum. Not seen a bill filed yet this year. Yes, sir.
Along those lines, internet cafes.
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
You got it. I get it.
I'll
I'm
be
getting
quiet.
To that. Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. The we've not seen legislation filed in that vein in terms of the large resort, a resort destination games, gaming areas and facilities. But along with that conversation is the internet cafes. And where does the state go in this really unregulated business practice is what it exists today. There are two schools of thought. Two pieces of legislation filed already that do two different things, both of which, though, consistently address the business entity. One is the abolishment, basically, of internet cafes as they exist today. That's there's a representative out of Orlando, Plakin, Representative Plakin, and Steve Ulrich, Senator Ulrich just up in Gainesville, have filed pieces of legislation to abolish the practice of internet gaming. Neither of those pieces of legislation have had hearings yet. It is something that has been talked about. Its communities are beginning to deal with it locally, and so it's something. It's a conversation that's bubbled up over time. Then you have another school of thought. Senator Fasano and others, Senator Fasano from Pasco County, suggest that while we should not potentially abolish it, let's regulate it, and let's find a structure whereby they have a standard set of regulations that they must adhere to. And we don't know exactly what that means, Councilman. That's part of not knowing what the finer points of those details are. We do know that it is a priority of both chambers to address the issue. What comes to be in a redistricting hearing, redistricting session and a budget session of the likes of which we'll see this year, we don't know. We do know, though, and speaking to Representative Baxley, this is at the forefront of many in your community. And I know Representative Baxley, this is something that's important to him to address. And so you'll see legislation, and to the extent that the city wants to take a position on it, I think that's probably something that you'll be called to do. Not maybe officially, but I think that the conversation will get so loud that you'll be compelled to probably say something.
Well, I think it goes along with the copper and the metal theft, too. There's got to be some uniformity to it, because if they leave it up, it's going to be wide open to interpretation, and it's putting everybody in a bind. So
right,
that would be I don't know if everybody else feels the same way, but yeah, it's got to be it's got to be a blanket set of rules, I think, for everybody to follow.
Okay.
Have you got a different thought?
No, I don't. I more so inquisitive, you know.
We've had two cases here, just well, Marion County, that the I think there's two arrests been made, gone to, did they go to trial? Or did they drop the charges? Not the charges. There's been two arrests made here locally, and both times state attorneys dropped charges and said, basically told law enforcement, don't bring any more, because we ain't doing anything, because we're waiting on Tallahassee.
Right. Okay.
So that's.
That's internet cafes?
Yeah. That's pretty much what Brad King has said. Is told the sheriff, I guess, police department just to quit. And of course, how many have we got? We've had a handful of
13.
Business. 13.
Mm-hmm. In the city?
It's 13 total and proposed as well.
And proposed?
In the city.
Mm-hmm. What does proposed mean, Matt? You have to get a.
Meaning they're going through the permitting process to get their business license.
All the location permits, all that kind of stuff. And then it's growing.
Has the. Has the county done anything officially as a group on?
The sheriff's department's made the two arrests, and either one of them have stuck. State attorneys dropped both times have been dropped. So they just kind of, again, state attorney here locally, Brad King, said, we need some more rules. And
right.
We're not, because we don't have anything to go on.
Right.
So on that side, you've got law enforcement who's questioning whether or not it is, gambling or not gambling, and then
right.
On this other side, we're sitting here and we've got people showing up looking for a business license and they're going into business. So
right.
Somehow, hopefully Tallahassee will zero in and give some direction.
Okay. You know, Mr. Manager, that may be, as those bills become, as they move, or if they undergo changes, what we'll do is we'll, you know, we'll put that at the priority list in terms of watching the various movements of them and how they may change and the differences, and to make sure that John and Estrida and your team know exactly what's out there. I mean, you know, I would suspect, and I could be wrong on this, maybe we may know this once we see the details, you would be, the finer details of what regulation looks like is probably the latter to some sort of uniformity, like you mentioned, or a consistency, yes. I guess is a better word. Maybe I'm wrong.
This council has actually held off advancing a local ordinance to provide a regulation of that industry in anticipation that the state would provide some leadership in this issue, because it does expand all jurisdictions and counties within the state of Florida.
Okay.
Arrests are being made. They're not following through with the prosecution, so how the heck can you write an ordinance that...
Right.
It just becomes a matter of opinion whether or not you think it's, you know, an internet cafe or something else.
A sweepstakes.
Yes.
That's what they like to call it,
like
a scratch-off.
Correct.
Okay. Well, it's impossible. I mean, we've spoken before as a group and individually. It's impossible to handicap what will or won't pass. It's literally impossible, but I can tell you it's easy to handicap some of the top issues that will be discussed, and this is one. And we send the articles to Estrida and John and the rest of your team. I mean, it's written about every day somewhere in the state. There's literally an article. There were two or three large ones over the weekend about it. And so we'll continue to monitor that and put that at the sort of the top of the – not put that near the top of the priority list as they begin to move. And you have a wonderful – advocate, and your whole delegation is great. I mean, we represent, you know, several municipalities. Your delegation is great. Representative Baxley, though, is obviously at the forefront of that, you know, for a lot of reasons. And so anytime you can bend his ear on that, we talk to him a lot. We talked to him this morning, and this was something that we discussed. So that will be something we continue.
Thank you.
To monitor. Thank you. You're welcome. Gaming, internet cafes, we've just mentioned. The governor has asked, getting back to some of the things we believe will be at the forefront of the session, the governor has asked his State Department of Transportation to take a look at his corridors or our corridors and to reprioritize some of the department's initiatives around the state to look at, and this is something that's been asked several years now, to really look at the private sector and a public-private partnership arrangements. To try and find ways to accomplish some of the goals that we have to meet for our transportation needs. You may see a resurgence of more east-west corridors being sort of the plans for those being dusted off. We have a wonderful dialogue going on with DOT as it relates to some of your priorities, going back to some of the stimulus funds and stimulus projects you all had, and engaging your congressmen and women and your senators at the time. We just have a really good dialogue with some of your priorities. And I know that, you know, Osceola Avenue, we just rode down Osceola Avenue, and some of the things you're doing and how that plugs into your local revitalization and your economic development initiatives down here is something that we're communicating with DOT on and trying to find a way to partner with existing resources outside of just the city. You know, one of the things that I'm very proud that Ocala does very, very well is you are willing, after long deliberation and a pragmatic review with your senior staff, which are wonderful, and you all, you're willing to put skin in the game. You're willing to say, we believe in a project, we believe in an initiative, and to that extent, the city's going to pony up X or what have you. And that's something that's embraced from Tallahassee. And quite candidly, over the years past, some municipalities across the state probably weren't as prolific to do that or weren't as bold in doing that. And Ocala has been since our time with you. That Osceola Avenue project is an example of the city proactively needing help but trying to find ways that we can all contribute to it. So we're having an ongoing dialogue there to try and meet your needs or help you meet your needs for that project and others. The governor's job package was rolled out last week. John Costello, the legislative affairs director for the governor, rolled out to the House Economic Affairs Committee and to the House Finance and Tax Committee a 7-point plan from the governor that you know, spoke in some detail, but basically, in essence, it's going to reduce regulation. They are going to hopefully provide more more tax incentives for businesses to create more jobs by way maybe of a corporate income tax. It's corporate income tax cut to take it another level this year, something that was discussed. There are initiatives in place from the governor. I think at the end of the day, the governor did two things. He's got to today for the 7-point plan by doing what he did yesterday, which is to reduce some of his agencies to begin this sort of look at all state rules and regulations. And so I think you'll see even things such as looking at all 1,600 taxing authorities around the state, and CRAs are one of them. You know, are these entities that are outside the state purview, are they functioning like they should in the best fiduciary role for the taxpayers? And so I think you have one CRA.
We have one.
One CRA.
But we're looking at, I think, expand it for three more.
That's a conversation that we should discuss at great length about where that's going, because, you know, the governor, when he rolled out his review of 1,600 taxing authorities last week, it wasn't specific. He said through his staff, we're going to do this. It's yet to be, they've not done it yet. They've not started the process yet, but I think you'll find CRAs being lumped in with everything else in terms of being reviewed. And so I think, you know, your existing CRA is something we should probably begin to message how that's doing. You may even be, I have to imagine, if CRAs are reviewed, you may even see some type of audit or some type of request of information on your CRA. But it also, too, may shift or may ask you to pause on what you're doing in towards your two or three other CRAs. And so let's talk about that, Matt, and what that looks like and how that's going to go. I think I think they're responsible for $15.4 billion. These local taxing districts, again, they cite 1,665, I think it is. So it's a top priority of the administration to look at those. And then, of course, you have the numeric nutrient criteria issue that's been bubbling for, gosh, close to 2 years now, Councilwoman Rich. I mean, it seems like every time we turn around, there's been a new conversation as to how Florida, who has been singled out by this initiative, how we can deal with that, not only from a municipal standpoint, but also from a businessman and woman standpoint and what we're going to do as a state. I think that there is there's an initiative in place whereby the state's going to pass rules, and then the legislature must approve these rules. We've worked with Jeff, and we work with another group called Associated Industries of Florida up in Tallahassee, who have taken the reins, so to speak, on this issue as an organization and brought all stakeholders to the table that want to be at the table. And I think you see the league, I think you see businesses, I think you see local or individual businessmen and women and companies engaged in this coalition. So we communicate with Jeff on a constant basis with that, and Astrid as well. So that's going to be an issue that we watch for you. As far as Ocala goes, you know, we've mentioned some of what we know are your priorities. Redistricting is something you've already weighed in on. We have not seen specific maps yet, but I think you'll start to see maps very shortly out of the House and Senate. Enterprise zones is, again, as I mentioned in my opening, you know, the existence of enterprise zones, and there are dozens, some of which are completely dormant, and some of which, I would tell you, few of which are as prolific as Ocala's in that they have the energy and drive behind the elected bodies to do what it is they need to do. But it's unfortunate that oftentimes those that are not performing as well seem to blight out those that are. And I think that's where you're seeing some of the emphasis on the sort of inspective view, if you will, or the inspection from Tallahassee on enterprise zones. We've spoken to Mark, and we have a wonderful dialogue going with Bert Vonhoff in the governor's office, who oversees sort of the enterprise zones. They know how important it is to Ocala. They know that you have big plans to do bigger things with your existing enterprise zone. I can see a scenario where we have to enter into a dialogue again about why the enterprise zone model is an effective model for communities like ours. It may not have to be called an enterprise zone, or it may not have to be exactly structured like it exists today, but some type of model that allows you to empower local communities or you as a local community to go out and be empowered to go invite growth in areas that need growth, whether it be because of blight or poverty or lack of employment, you know, something that has to exist today. And I think Ocala is a perfect example of that. So whether it looks like enterprise zones or whether it sounds like enterprise zones and looks like enterprise zones and smells like enterprise zones, as long as something's there, I think my conversations with Mark and some of your senior staff, we agree that something has to remain, not to mention the progress and the effort and the time and the energy and the manpower you all have invested in your own enterprise zone. Metal theft, we've spoken about. Energy, we've spoken about, and then, of course, the review of taxing districts and CRAs and then where that's going internally with the city. That's important for us to continue, Mr. Manager. We continue to work well with your delegation. I actually had a previously scheduled trip during your delegation meeting, but Sarah was here attended your delegation meeting. We helped you craft your priorities for Chairman Baxley, who as it was presented. Chairman Baxley, your entire delegation, you have a couple of new members. Representative Perry is just wonderful. He works very, very hard. You just have a really talented legislative delegation, and I would be remiss if I didn't say that I think I personally, on behalf of you, but I think the city will miss very much Senator Lynn's work on your behalf. And not to suggest that whomever will become your senator and whatever your district will look like can't replace a lot of the successes that you've had in that area, but Senator Lynn is just, there's never a time she won't take our meeting on your issues. There's never a time that she won't make her staff available. There's never a time she won't ask you hard questions as to why Ocala is wanting to do what you want to do. And I think that's fair. I think it allows us as your advocates to make a better case for you as to why the city may need something. And if you can't have an ongoing, really blunt dialogue with your local legislative delegation about some of the things that you're wanting, then who can you have it with? And that's sort of the litmus test, I think, in a lot of ways, as to how your local delegation sees some of your priorities. Then you bring on folks like us to help you spread that not only to your delegation, but to those outside your delegation, Miami and Orlando and Jacksonville and the Panhandle, why that's important. And so we can do what we do for you, but your delegation also carries a whole heck of a lot of water. And so we'll miss Senator Lynn, and I know that she's got one more year. She's probably going to do a lot of good things this last year. So we continue to work with your delegation, I guess is my point. I mentioned that we will begin to, and we've already begun to send some things to Astrida as it relates to bills being filed. We have already begun, and we didn't realize when we set this date that I didn't realize that Astrida would not be here. She's wonderful to work with. She and John are always available for us. Mark is always making himself available. Everyone on your staff is available. We'll begin to dissect out what the issues are for you with respect to specific bills, and we'll send them to you, Astrida, and then we'll begin to work through your staff, Mr. Manager, as well. And then lastly, I don't know that this has been a priority to have an Ocala-specific trip per se. We are always welcome to host a trip of any organized effort, whether it be through the chamber. I don't know what that will look like now that you have a merging of the groups, how that'll play. You know, you'll have some new members on this council that may or may not have a penchant to want to come up. You know, we enjoy, we need to do it in an organized fashion so that we don't have two or three or four different meetings with the members of your delegation on different days, but we enjoy an organized effort to have you there. And certainly, you know, Mr. Mayor, you came last year, and Councilman Gwynn, you've come up before. Anyone that wants to come up and whether it be on a day or have meetings, we'd love to do that for you. We think it's important because Sarah and I and Al Cardenas and Slater Bayless, our whole team, can have a meeting on your behalf, but it's not like you being there and talking to the person that you may go to church with or you're in the Rotary with or what have you. It's just a different dialogue. So with that, I hope we haven't missed anything. If we have, I'm sure Sarah will correct me. A lot of, as we were mentioning earlier, a lot of things we think we see around the corner, but we don't know yet for you. And so with that, we hope to be able to take from today a beginning of our marching orders. And then lastly, I'll offer this, which is probably the most constructive thing, and we consider ourselves your staff. You know, individual meetings with you, coming down and having a meeting, or Councilman Rich, I know we've swapped phone calls over the years. I mean, any type of personal outreach is great because, you know, if we don't know about the priority, and sometimes it may be something where you have a question or you may have, you know, the council may be discussing something that next Tuesday or what have you, any type of communication is great. And I think that's one of the things that we pride ourselves on. We don't represent a lot of municipalities, nor will we ever. We don't represent really anyone in this area, and we probably never will as long as we're able to represent you. We feel like each area of the state has a unique set of needs because Florida is different. And we have taken an approach that we'll represent a few municipalities because we think we probably can do it pretty well, but we won't represent as many as we can. And so we enjoy the communication. So, and with that, Mr. President, I'll Q&A or wherever we go from here.
Kent, you want to start? You got anything?
No, I was really focused on that metals recycling. I want to make sure that gets done this year. I want to come up and lobby the House and the Senate subcommittees on that like I did last year.
Okay.
The Enterprise Zone, we're scheduled for that in 2013, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll work with our staff and get us up to speed on what we need to do to make that happen. The electric issues, you don't foresee any of those issues again like we had two sessions ago?
Well, you expect literally, and I don't mean this to be flippant, you expect everything because you don't know what in the world will happen, and you react to those that are reality at the time. We don't see the legislation today, Councilman. Let me suggest this. Those that proffered legislation like that, I think those issues still remain. Whether they actually have the ability to file those, given other priorities they have, I don't know. I don't think so at this time.
You don't see anything out there.
Not today.
I mean, the one issue was you had to bring the utilities under the preview of Public Service Commission. And the other issue was, and I can't remember the representative that was proposing it, was the issue of that people that lived outside the city of Ocala or municipalities, but were yet served by the utility, couldn't vote on the
representation.
Council members and led people to believe that we wouldn't take care of their needs, which is obviously not the case. So I just don't see that one coming back again.
And that was pushed by Fort Meade at that time. They were there were some real issues at FMPA that they were not happy about, and quite frankly, as a means of getting back at everyone, they were working with their legislature, Baxley, is that right?
No, Baxter Troutman.
Baxter Troutman.
Who's no longer in the legislature.
He's turned out, apparently.
He's turned out.
And so they were working with their representative to try to bring that about, but that issue's gone away.
Yeah, there was a lady that was in a thing on the House side. I mean, it was actually Mayfield. On the floor, and she withdrew it she was on the floor.
Those were two separate issues, but were kind of linked. But she, Representative Mayfield from Vero Beach.
Was that who it was?
Yes, sir. Yeah. On Representative Mayfield had legislation that would have prohibited the sale of a local municipal power agency from selling X percentage to customers outside the municipality. That was 96% gist of the bill. And it was only a House bill. And it actually, the genesis of that was a local issue down in Vero Beach with a local municipality.
That's right.
We've not seen that yet. And I don't know if that would be filed again.
And you may not. Vero Beach right now is debating the value of selling their entire system. In fact, looking at getting appraisals from Florida Power Light and Orlando Utility Commission. So she may be pleased with that effort and may not file anything.
But Matt, it's interesting, Mr. Manager, it's interesting because last committee week, the lobbyist, Bill Peebles, for the FMPA, spoke to the House Energy Committee on local municipal power agencies' rates and where the trend had been and sort of the purchasing of wholesale power and locking those rates in and where it is today.
Yep.
And there were no questions, and I was there on behalf of the city, there were no questions about our rates. If I remember correctly, they appeared to be sort of in the middle of the pack.
Fifth lowest in the state.
Perfect. That's actually, when I got back to your talking about your delegation asking some hard questions, that's where Senator Lynn 2 years ago asked some hard questions. The legislation was filed.
Mm-hmm.
There was a thought that Senator J.D. Alexander, who was the budget chairman, had actually filed the legislation that Councilman Gwynn spoke about first, which was to take the governance of OEU up to the PSC, Public Service Commission, out of your hands into the Public Service Commission. Baxter Troutman, the House of Representatives member, and J.D. Alexander, who was a quite powerful member of the legislature, filed the legislation. And I think that we immediately, when we saw that, began to engage and talk about Ocala and why Ocala was the way we were, whatever that was, mm-hmm. Whatever your view of Ocala was at the time and our electric utilities, this is why we are that way. And that's where Senator Lynn asked some questions. Well, are we going to see any reductions? Are, you know, where is this headed? And I think you were able to come back to her months later after the session when the bill was defeated or not passed and show her a reduction in rates. So I think that's part of that ongoing dialogue. I don't see that legislation coming back again this year, but ..
So. That's all I got, Mr. President.
No, I just will piggyback on that I'm going down tomorrow for the policymaker liaison committee at FMPA. Kind of doing the same thing with legislature that's coming up, and so I will be able to maybe see if there's anything and do that next Tuesday night. I can report back on that.
Okay. Ms. Rich? Anything? You got any parting shots?
Parting shots? No,
you pass the torch?
I think a few years ago, the council made a wise choice to hire this firm because
absolutely.
I think there's a lot
Thank
of good
you.
Things, and they helped us get the enterprise zone. They're going to help us continue to fight for the enterprise zone. Talk about utilities, but I think more so we understand a lot more what's going on in Tallahassee and how it's affected, how we can help affect those decisions. And I think our legislative delegation appreciates that fact because now we've got this, we know a little more. The one thing I would say is I did take the opportunity to go up this year, and last year I didn't go up, but our delegation always thanks you when they come up because they like to see people from their home area. So I would hope that the council would consider to take a trip up, spend a little bit of time with the delegation, and, you know, plan it ahead of time because they have multiple meetings and they go, but, you know, spend a few minutes with them up there because they get a little homesick. And miss us sometimes, the ones that like us. But I think they all like us. And I have to agree, I mean, with your comments on Senator Lynn, I think she's done a fantastic job. I hope her replacement is, you know, very supportive of Marion County, which I do believe. But I will say that Representative O'Toole of the Villages, she'll ask some tough questions as
yes,
well.
Yes, she will. You better be on your toes.
Spent a few minutes with her, and I could tell she was very much almost in the mold of Senator Lynn, very, you know, very confident in what she was talking about. But, you know, all our delegation, I think they work very hard. And so when we made the comment, too, about the redistricting, we kind of heard both sides. So
yep.
It all seemed fairly interesting. Senator Hayes made a comment that, you know, we had a lot of people who were representing us, but, you know, we have a lot of people representing us, but we don't have
right.
somebody, to, you know, from the Senate side who lives in Marion County. So it was that, I think that's what I think we were really looking for. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with that being said, I think, you know, the agenda we've got here is going forward. You know, keep working with the group, vice versa. I know they are, but to me, it's been a tremendous advantage for us.
I agree.
Thank you.
Yeah, and me too. In my all of my time up here, I mean, the time that you've come on board, I just appreciate this. The marked difference in our relationship and
Good.
Understand what's coming out of Tallahassee
Good.
And how it's affecting us, and appreciate all your work and openness and everything else. And yeah, as the session starts, I mean, if there's some key dates or things that are coming up that you know, it may be of benefit to any one of us to be up there. I mean, you know, you can always shoot Matt or street somebody an email and let us know a schedule, and we can always get up there for anything. So
okay.
It's always fun to come up there too and see what's happening in the Capitol. But I do appreciate all the work.
Don't drink the water. yeah, the Kool-Aid. Someone said that. They said we'll come up here, but we won't drink your water.
We're politicians. We drink. We'll find something else.
Right.
To drink.
If I could, Mr. President, I do want to comment on, you know, sort of, I don't know that we've ever taken the time to talk about how we communicate with you and your staff and how it actually becomes what we ultimately update you on. And it's pretty labor intensive on your staff's behalf. And, you know, there's a lot of detailed work on ours too. I mean, Sarah, you know, at the end of every week, Sarah will send Astrida and John and whomever Astrida's appointed as a bill report. And that bill report is I forget how big the folder was last year.
Yeah,
dozens.
It starts
dozens.
At about 8 pages right now, and it'll be in the probably 35.
Any bill that we see that could potentially, that directly affects you or could potentially be a vehicle for someone putting an amendment on, because you can only, as the process goes, you can only amend a bill that touches the similar statutes that exist in the original bill. And so we, you know, we send that to Estrida and whomever every Friday, not to mention we try and get on a weekly call. And, you know, you start out with all these big, massive spreadsheets of bills, and at the end it just kind of siphons out, and you've picked the 10 live bullets, so to speak, that are live at the time. And it could be 10 totally different ones the next Friday. And so it's your staff should be commended, and, you know, Matt's given us the ability, just like Mr. Horst gave us when we first came on, to communicate freely and send you as much or as little as possible. And I think you've got a pretty good, your staff has a really good handle on what they need from us, which is, I think, a compliment to you. So.
Stephen, would you mind? Stephen and Sarah have been tremendous foot soldiers and advocates for us in Tallahassee regarding Project Tulip. Would you mind taking just 30 seconds and give us an update about where that stands now?
Sure. Thank you. I did not mention that, as it's it took a lot. That's one of the items that I want to be fair to how I say this. It took a lot of effort to keep the conversation going, you know, but the council needed to act first before we could do anything. But I, you know, the sort of the task we were given, which was, we're not sure where the council's going on this, but let's find a way that, you know, this could continue to be a live bullet and the city can benefit if this council decides to move forward. And so our role was a communications role that continues to exist today to a much lesser extent than it did probably 6 to 8 weeks ago. The Department of Economic Opportunity, as I mentioned earlier, this very broad department, which is in all likelihood end up being a wonderful, wonderful thing for economic development around the state, because I won't get into any details. I could spend 3 hours talking about why I think so. It streamlines what was at the time when we started working with Project Tulip, a fairly cumbersome process where you had to get approvals from this group, you had to get authority from OTED, then you had to get sign-off from council, then you had to have the governor, if it met a certain threshold for the incentive, you had to get the governor to sign off. Oh, by the way, though, did the Legislative Budget Commission sign off on it? That process doesn't exist in its old form anymore. And so as the Department of Economic Opportunity begins to take shape, one of the things that has happened is there's been a review of the old system and how were we doing under the old system, and in this new DEO, how will we do it differently, and where did we fail last time? And I think you've seen some articles, and if you want to see them, we can forward them to you, that have suggested that the new staff at DEO, Department of Economic Opportunity, have found that there have been some places that jobs were promised, incentives were given based off of this promise, and then ultimately the job numbers fell short for whatever reason. And I think Project Tulip has gotten all, I think, the unofficial nods, although now the negotiations are between the state and the project. It's you know, the city's not a part of that deal, I don't believe. But I think that all things are moving in the right direction. And I think because, you know, you have a changeover at Department of Economic Opportunity, and you have what's now a new process, I think that the timing of that potential award was probably delayed some because of that. But I received a call from a principal from the project on Friday who suggested all things continue to move forward. They've submitted all the financials. I think the state needed some more financials from the project in order to check all the boxes for staff. And I think they've done that, at least submitted the documents. And so I anticipate hopefully an award soon. I'm not an official broker in that on your behalf, so I'm only told what the project principals will tell me, or, you know, dialogue I have with the state incentive folks. So
thank you.
It's a long answer, sorry.
Anything else?
That's it.
Does anyone else have any other questions, comments, marching orders, anything to work on? So we appreciate it.
Thank you.
And,
thank you very much. Yeah,
we're always here, and we appreciate you always being there. So
thank you very much.
Keep the dialogue
going.
We'll
be back. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Real quick before we close, you got an email, Commissioner McLean. I don't know if you got that or you won't be here, but you're more than willing to come. Public is invited. sitting on the other side, you can call us whatever. They're just looking at some, we got some, you know, we got projects that are in the loop. Come January, it'll be Mayor Gwynn. You're obviously more than welcome to join. But we got some of those dates that we're looking at to sit down with them on just some ongoing projects that
sure
may or not be happening to that time, and try to keep moving forward.
Yep.
So if y'all can get, Matt, we got this, Lori got this, so I'm sure we'll have that. We got the 10th, the 24th, and the 31st, so we'll try to start steering in some dates for you to get with Dr. Niblock on and see what we can come up with.
There's actually two work meetings that are being desired. I'm not sure what that email says. The county wants, of course, a work meeting just to talk about the projects that are out there, but there is a, thank you.
All those dates.
There's also a second work meeting that is being put together. John McCloud and I visited with the representatives of Citrus County, the county commissioner, the state representative, and the county administrator. They are looking to get final approval from the state for their seaport and want to work with us for our inland port. And so we're trying to get a work meeting where we can meet with the county, Marion County, Citrus County, and City of Ocala to work on some synergies between, again, their seaport and our inland port.
Great.
Yeah, that'd be a big one. That'd be a good one, so. And some of those dates, I don't know, so if y'all can let Lori know on some of those dates. Kent, whatever, basically are off Tuesdays for January, apart from our meetings.
Okay.
So we can sit down with them at some point. Mr. Rich, if any of those dates work out, try to start steering that in.
My calendar's pretty good.
You're welcome to join us, brother. Come on down. Come on down. You'll be missing it by then anyway. You'll be wanting to get up.
We'll see.
Maybe not. All right, anybody, anything else? We're good. We are adjourned. Maybe run out of here and not look back. Sometimes.